Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to athletic performance, body composition, anti-aging, fitness, and nutrition. On side one, Corey will provide a clinical review of articles published in various health and fitness journals, as well as his own personal commentary. He will then be joined by Tracy Hawley to discuss health and fitness issues which pertain to female athletes, mothers, and children. Side 2 includes an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience as a clinician, author, healthcare provider, athlete, or professional in the healthcare and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, October 2002. Last month, I discussed the biological role and effects of taking vitamin E, a lipid-soluble antioxidant that protects the body from oxidants, free radicals, and environmental pollutants. Vitamin E is a big player in energy production and helps maintain insulin sensitivity. No matter how conservative your approach to vitamin therapy, don't neglect taking vitamin E. It's something I always recommend as a vitamin staple, along with vitamin C. In this edition, I'd like to talk about energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, something that everyone wants more of. Unlike matter and its physical properties, energy eludes a concrete definition in terms of size, shape, or mass. Rather, the term energy implies a dynamic state, a condition of change, because the presence of energy is revealed only when a change takes place. Energy is the capacity of matter or radiation to do work. It is the exertion of power. It takes the form of kinetic energy, potential energy, chemical energy, and electrical energy. The synonym for energy is dynamic force. In physics, energy is defined as the capacity for doing work and overcoming resistance. An ergogenic substance is something that improves our capacity to perform work. Energy is required not only to move matter and mass, but also to hold it together. Energy and matter are one. They are interchangeable. All matter consists of building blocks called chemical elements. Of the 92 that occur in nature, 26 are present in the human body. We are principally comprised of four basic elements, which include oxygen, 65%, carbon, 18.5%, hydrogen, 9.5%, and nitrogen, 3.2%. which add up to a total of 96%. The remaining 4% of our composition is a collection of minerals and trace elements. Unlike matter, energy implies a condition of change rather than a constant of size, shape, or mass. Weight is distinguished from mass in that mass is the amount of matter a substance contains, whereas weight is the force of gravity acting on mass. This is why body weight is less relevant to health and performance than body mass or composition, and why weight is a term often referred to incorrectly. Your weight can change simply by a change in altitude, but your mass remains the same. For instance, on the moon, your weight would decrease by more than 80%, but your volume or occupied space would remain the same, meaning that you'd still look and feel the same. Plants and animals possess the ability to extract energy from their environments and use it to carry out activities such as growth and development, movement and reproduction. This energy merely changes from one form to another as it passes through us. In essence, we are in fact beings of pure light energy. Energy is to our lives and performance as athletes what the sun is to the solar system or the atom is to the makeup of matter. Energy is what propels us. Its absence is the greatest limiting factor responsible for hindrance of strength, endurance, stamina, growth, recovery, and state of mind. Energy is also the secret behind true motivation and vision. Dr. Emmanuel Traskin, who just recently passed away, was a very strong proponent of orthomolecular medicine. He is quoted as saying, "Health is the ability to do what you need to do and what you want to do with energy and enthusiasm." Energy is the key to personal success and progression. Understanding how it works, where it comes from, and where it goes is the primary work of science. All the forces of nature and the principles of life simply reflect energy in its purest form. Through a complex process involving enzyme mediation, reduction, oxidation cycles, and hundreds of multiple-step chemical reactions, our cells extract, convert, and transfer energy from the raw materials provided by nature. An energetic and enthusiastic disposition is reliant on the acquisition of adequate quantities of light, air, water, and food. These are the fuels from which energy is supplied. So in essence, the formula for life is very simple. Supply the demand. This is our quest for survival. The first law of thermodynamics states that energy is neither created nor destroyed during any physical or chemical process. It is simply transformed from one form to another. Energy reveals itself chemically and mechanically. It moves about as heat, light, or electricity, even as nuclear activity. Cellular metabolism is a series of defined chemical changes involving a redistribution of various forms of energy. Whenever changes occur in a system, energy must be transferred from one part of the system to another, but the total energy content of the system remains constant. This is known as the law of energy conservation, or the law of conservation of energy. The second law of thermodynamics relates to the concept of entropy, which was coined by Boltzmann in the late 1800s. Entropy is a measure of the continual process of energy change and measures the degree of energy disorderedness. It is the quantity of energy unavailable for useful work in a system undergoing change. The second law of thermodynamics states that entropy never decreases. Order always tends to spontaneously move into disorder. The universe is constantly degrading. Everything that starts out fresh and new ages over time and eventually wears out. Entropy ties in with our understanding of oxidation, sarcopenia, and age-related degeneration of the body. All chemical and physical processes proceed in such a direction that total randomness or disorder increases. Energy available to do work also decreases. When the entropy of a system reaches a maximum, the system is totally disordered and no further changes will occur. This is the condition of equilibrium that all known chemical and physical systems tend to approach. In other words, the energy that holds us together eventually disperses into the surrounding ether and we disappear. Energy may be classified as kinetic potential and activation energy. Kinetic energy is associated with the motion of any object, which is determined by its mass and velocity. Einstein's famous equation states that E equals mc squared, or energy equals mass times velocity squared. Velocity measures the rate of the movement of an object in a given direction. Force is that which changes the state of rest or motion of matter. Power is the rate of performing work in relation to time or the product of force and velocity. Speed is the distance traveled per unit of time. Strength is a measure of the maximum force or tension generated by a muscle or muscle group. Strength measures how much you can lift, whereas power measures how quickly you can lift it. Athletes who understand the importance of Einstein's equation know that speed of matter is enormously important to the production of power and force. If more of our physical body is functional, force-producing mass, as in contractile skeletal muscle, which contributes to the generation of force or power, and less of the body is non-force-producing mass, as in body fat, then we can definitely move faster. You see, moving mass takes energy, so any mass that can't pull its own weight is considered a liability in sport. Fat doesn't contract. Muscle contracts. So it's muscle that moves the machine. I know this for a fact because when I shift from a bodybuilding routine to a power focus in track and field, my arm size decreases, but my arm strength increases. Now, how can that be possible? How can the size of muscle decrease but increase in power? Well, big showy muscle can look strong, but when tested for strength and power, It often produces less force in proportion to its size than do muscles of smaller dimension, but whose makeup is predominantly fast twitch speed fibers built from years of power training. In almost every sport other than bodybuilding, muscle size as an objective is far less important than muscle power, because velocity is hindered by excessive mass, and matter that lacks the strength to liberate enough force to move it explosively is slower. Bodybuilding is one of the very few sports where strength and power is really irrelevant in competition. Bodybuilding muscle typically consists of slow twitch endurance fibers, a massive network of capillaries, and of course, fast twitch power fibers. Many bodybuilders are strong, there's no doubt about that. The goal is to create a physique that looks massive, symmetrical, and highly defined. But a physique like that won't score any extra points in the sport of volleyball or field hockey. In these sports, it is speed and power coupled with skill and agility that facilitate victory, not the size of your biceps. The faster molecules move and the greater their mass, the greater their kinetic energy or heat. Heat is a form of radiant energy and, like light, travels in particle waves. Microwaves, radio waves, and X-rays are all examples of radiant energy. The action potential associated with nerve and muscle cell interaction is a form of electrical energy. Electrical energy results from the flow of electrons and charged particles such as ions. Another form of energy associated with any object, because of its position or internal structure, is called potential energy. Potential energy has the potential of becoming kinetic energy when it's released, such as the energy stored in a battery. Chemical energy is actually a form of potential energy locked within molecular structures. This energy is released when chemical bonds between atoms are broken or formed. For example, when oxygen and hydrogen react together to form water, heat energy is released in the form of calories. A calorie is a unit of heat content or energy. A small calorie is the amount of heat required to raise the temperature of 1 gram of water from 14.5 degrees centigrade to 15.5 degrees centigrade, or 1 degree centigrade. A large calorie is a kilocalorie. And a kilocalorie is 1,000 times the value of a small calorie, or the quantity of energy required to raise the temperature of 1 kilogram of water, 1 degree centigrade. The standard international unit for expressing energy is the joule, which is equal to 0.239 calories. 1 calorie is also equal to 4.184 joules. A bomb calorimeter is an instrument designed to measure the potential energy of organic substances, including food. It consists of a hollow, platinum-lined steel container filled with pure oxygen. A certain food weighed in advance is placed into the container and ignited with an electric fuse. The food produces heat, which is absorbed by water surrounding the bomb. The rise in water temperature is then measured, reflecting the total calories or heat energy given off from the food. Calories represent the potential energy of food. Protein contains an average of 5.65 calories per gram, but because the body cannot oxidize its nitrogen component, about 19% of the protein's potential energy is lost. In the body, protein yields about 4.6 calories per gram, carbohydrates release about 4.2 calories per gram, and fat provides more than double at 9.4 calories per gram. The average net energy values are rounded to simple whole numbers, which are called Atwater general factors. So you get 4 calories per gram for protein, 4 calories per gram for carbs, and about 9 calories per gram of fat. Alcohol also yields approximately 7 calories per gram, and of course water has no caloric value at all. It takes energy, namely mental and physical energy, to initiate the release of potential energy. Millions of North Americans claim they have no time to work out, but lack of energy is right up there as a big reason and a common excuse, depending upon how you look at it. Of course, it's very difficult to exercise if you're suffering with chronic fatigue, because if you feel run down and tired all the time, you just don't have any motivation to train. But the paradox is that you'll never have more energy until you learn how to move your body and expend energy in motion. And that's what the paradox is all about. In order to create energy in your body, you've got to expend energy. That doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but that's the way it is. The longer you sit, the more fatigue you have. And the more active you are, the more energy you have. A large snowball resting on top of a mountain slope is analogous to the chemical energy stored in a molecule. If the snowball were to roll down the slope, its potential energy would be converted into kinetic energy. But the snowball, firmly nestled in a depression on the slope, cannot roll down without some initial push. This push represents the activation energy necessary to commence a chemical reaction. This is where a coach, a training partner, or a personal trainer can be helpful. Sometimes we need a highly motivated friend to activate our senses to the point of arousal, to push us through a temporary slump, and to remind us of why we need to train, exercise, and be active. Some days you just won't feel like training. You'll look for any excuse to justify your absence, even though deep down inside you know you should go. This is where the mind and body seem to resist one another in a kind of mental tug of war. It's almost like there are two people inside of you, one trying to convince you to go and the other trying to convince you to stay. But if you do outsmart yourself and manage to overcome the body's natural tendency to conserve energy, you may be surprised by the experience. Some of my best workouts and most productive hours in the gym started out this way. Well, that's it for this segment of Sports Nutrition Update. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Edward Stanley, the Earl of Derby. Those who think they have not time for bodily exercise will sooner or later have to find time for illness.